shot to me.
Let's go. Order
welcome to the league of training.
Hello and welcome to episode 378 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick Deacon Cooper. Joining me, Aiden Frost Rockhards.
Heyo.
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Unfortunately, I am back this week, so you guys have to put
real
up with me.
Blue above an episode, if you ask
me. Colton doesn't listen to the show. Let's talk shit about him while he's gone.
If you lift the veil, Colton, hey, this is we're gonna cut this out. Colton,
yeah, okay.
If you lift the veil, you're going to ruin the show.
All right? Oh, okay.
You have to pretend like you didn't listen last week. All right.
I have no idea what you're talking. What's a bloob?
I'm not telling you. You got to listen to last week.
Oh,
but you can't.
Okay, okay.
All right. Now we'll cut back. Ready? Hey, welcome back. So this week, we're going to, before we get into our weeks, we're going to talk about, I guess, the speedrun idea. Do we have an update on that, by the way?
No one submitted any.
Pog. That means everyone gives Aiden $5 in RP. we're going to talk about some new like champion updates schedule that Riot has planned. Yumi feedback after what, like 24 hours of being released, something like that. We got a Metakaiser. Boom. We got round table questions. Everyone had really good answers, by the way. I'm really looking forward to it. We got a cheese pick returning cheese master. We can talk about MSI, which has been quite surprising. But not surprising at the same time. And then we're going to talk. We're going to do emails. But we're going to do emails first. So before we jump into the emails, we're mixing it up. Aiden, why don't you tell us about your week?
I lost a lot of league games because the game's wiener.
Oof.
No, it sounds like you're wiener at the game.
So I'm not going to make the title another Tom Kench title. But character's still
whatever.
Wiener.
I mean, you win a lot of games, right?
I have a negative win rate on him.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Character unbenched, but still wiener. So belongs on the bench, but is sitting outside.
I win my lane most of the games. Like, I'd say like 80% of games. But then he just gets outscaled by every character in the game, like just before. So it's a little bit lame.
Why not just win lane, win game?
Yeah, that's a problem, though. It's just not that good. I don't know.
It did seem like you had some pretty bad matchups today.
Well, it's not even like the matchups are bad. It's just like as soon as you get out of lane, you just don't do anything unless you have like 100 kill. I mean, you kill 80 carries. You're an 80 carry killer, but you're lane. Like, if you're laning against any Conqueror character, because all the Conqueror characters scale really well, like Aatrox, Irelia, Jax, Riven, Darius, whatever, they all scale extremely well. So as soon as they get out of lane, they can still slap butts, but then you just like kind of don't really do that. So yeah, I don't know. I'm still going to keep playing him because I still really enjoy playing him. It's fun winning my lane, but I feel like I should just play meta characters. I feel like that's the easiest way to climb is just be a good enough player to play meta characters. Like, if you can play, okay, you don't even have to be a good player, but you just play Nautilus support right now. You can win every single game if he's unbanned. He is the best character in the game, I think.
Nautilus?
As support, yeah.
You can play better than Volibear right now?
I think he's like the most like dumb to easy to win games character.
Okay, I can agree with that. I don't know if I personally agree with him being the best character in the game, but I certainly think he's one of the easier characters and always has been.
I like that his hook is three times as wide as Blitzcrank hook.
And the range is say a 1,000 units, but it actually hits up to like 1,500 because the end hit power on it is ridiculous. And his ult is on too low of a cooldown, and his passive is on too low of a cooldown, and his shield is too big, and his E damage is fucking crazy because nothing else, like, who cares about your Q cooldown and your like W shield, like putting levels into it? You just max your E because it does a billion damage. It's so dumb. Literally everything about the character just like allows you to drool.
And he's
on
got
your
a
keyboard.
Home field advantage in the river. Because he's used to it.
Yeah.
It's nutty. And you get an Ocean Drake, and then the game is basically over.
What if there's a Pyke on the other team? Whoa.
That's like Deep Sea.
Deep Sea rivalry.
Yeah. Yeah, anyways, just play Nautilus, dude. Play Nautilus if you're support. Play probably AD carry. You probably play just Sivir, honestly. Mid's hard. Mid's like a weird role. top just play Vlad every game, and then jungle just play Sejuani every game, and you'll probably just gain ELO.
I think Aatrox is pretty nutty right now too.
I actually,
we were talking about that, yeah.
Going back from the, like, hey, I think Nautilus is the best character, but that's because he's super easy. I think Aatrox is actually the best character. Like, for real, though. Like, they just didn't need to buff. Well, so, I guess this is part of my week. Whatever. I played against a bunch of Aatroxes, and they buffed his healing on his ult when it's active to 70%. That shouldn't fucking scale. That shouldn't apply to runes. Like, it shouldn't make it so Triumph heals for 20%. Of her max health. Like, that's ridiculous. That's not an interaction that should happen. Like, if he gets, he could be 0-18 in a game. If he gets one pick on the worst character on the enemy team, you just win that fight. He just wins that fight, no matter what. So, like, he's a character that, as long as one person's feeding on the enemy team, you just win every single fight if you kill them immediately and proc your ult. Anyways, I just played, like, a lot of League, and it's kind of a little bit annoying. I'm gonna take a break. Well, I guess I'm going to take a break, because we're all going to Easter, so.
Hell yeah. Tomorrow,
hell yeah!
You're in tomorrow as well, right?
Yeah, tomorrow at like 6 or something like that.
Yeah, you're getting early, earlier than I am.
And other than that,
evening.
Yeah, 6:40 nice. Or something like that. Other than that, Civ, Nick and I played Civ with Alex a bunch, and that game's sick.
Game's so fun.
Yeah, we should keep playing like just the three. I feel like the dynamic of the three of us are like. Not to exclude Colton, but Colton doesn't have it. I'm not trying to like purposely go, fuck you, Colton. No, but I like having that small group who's actually going to always be there, because it's nice finishing games.
Yeah, I do enjoy actually, you know, committing to a game that I remember what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, hopefully we'll be able to continue that tonight since Colton has plans.
Hell yeah.
True.
What about your week, Colton?
Ooh. Yeah. My 2 weeks, my dude.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Because you didn't listen last week.
Well, I listened. I just didn't record.
Yeah, Colton.
Sorry.
We're going to cut that out as well.
You can just Mundo that. Lift
the veil, okay?
Aiden, can you just Mundo that part? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, my 2 weeks, since I didn't record or listen, obviously. Let's see. I've been still playing a lot of FTL, just steadily, like, unlocking everything, kind of. It's been, like, it's my go-to game if I'm, like, watching a stream or, like, a video, and particularly since I've been watching MSI games, I've been, you know, playing a lot more of it, because it's, like, low enough effort that I can, you know, be watching and, like, pause it all the time if something's going on. So I think it's a really good kind of, like, background game for that. Played a decent amount of League. I think I'm up, like, 40-50 points. So I'm like 2 games out of series to D2 right now.
Pog.
I would have hit it last night, but or 2 nights ago, I think that was. But there was an unfortunate game or two. I played a couple games with Trevor. We played Pike Mord, and for the most part they went very well. One of the games not so well, which was the game I think that I they banned Pike. And Thresh, so I decided to play Leona, and they played Ezreal, and I think it was like Ezreal Zyra, or it was two like ranged poke characters, so it's just a total pain in the ass. We could never get near them, and then we got like camped anyway. It was unpleasant. So that being said, I did get to pop off one game on Pike. I think I had like 14 kills, so it was like 14-1 or something. So
yeah, that game was wild.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's most of my week. I'm trying to think if I, like, did anything else, really. I haven't been watching a whole lot. I'm thinking I'm probably going to break into Legend of Korra here soon, so you guys can make fun of me for watching another kid's show. But, yeah, work's been pretty average, and I guess I'll pass it on to Mr. Nick Cooper, the haver of weeks, the master of work and school, the accountant extraordinaire.
Accountant in education training, ? Not yet. Yeah, work and school. It's been really busy this week, so I have not played much League. I think I played... like three or four games of ARAM on Saturday.
So why are you even recording the show? Just go home.
You know, you're not even playing. Been it for this week. I mean, so this week, like, I had a lot of schoolwork to do this because my summer classes are actually like a little challenging. I had cousins visit from Germany, and I didn't want to, you know, spend the whole weekend in my room playing video games while they were just hanging out.
Sounds like the perfect thing to do when family is over.
I mean, usually I don't have a problem with it, but I actually enjoy their company. So
okay, so they're like cool family.
Yeah, no, they're great. Yeah, yeah. So I've been doing that. I played more Dota than League. I think a lot of it has to do with the Battle Pass versus the MSI Event Pass, where I am incredibly disappointed in the League Pass. It's so not worth it comparatively.
I haven't really looked into it too much. I know it's like sitting there like, hey, you sure you don't want to buy this pass? And I'm like, I don't know about this one.
I'm looking at the event pass, right, for League. The biggest thing in there is the 100 prestige points, right? Otherwise, you get chromas for skins that you have to already own, and then after that it just kind of drops off. Like, it's good if it's time in that event to just buy a bunch of chests, like if you have too many keys, or keys if you have too many chests. But if you're just doing it like for the prestige points, it's kind of like not worth it. So that's been a little disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, so like, there's, you know, I always like to kind of pick up ward skins when they do these events. I mean, there's a couple orbs that are okay, and, like, yeah, the chromas. Like, there's plenty there to get. It's just, like, you're not going to get a lot of it without playing a ton of games. And I think that's the biggest thing, is, like, I need to pay to then play 50 to 100 games to get this stuff.
And, I mean, at the end of the day, right, you're buying, a chroma for a skin. I guess with prestige, like, you don't need to own the base game for that, right?
I don't believe so.
I don't think I own... Yeah, because I don't own KDA Kai'Sa, but I got it from the event. So, like, I guess that counts as a skin. But after that, like, you've kind of got to save, you know? And that's your big purchase for the event. Maybe you get another chroma, but that's, like, $10 for a skin and a chroma. You know, granted, it helps esports. You know, it goes to MSI teams, ? But it's still, like... It's still a little disappointing, I suppose. I mean, I still bought it, so. But, yeah, that's been my week. And then Civ with Aiden and Alex, mm-hmm. which has been a blast.
I had one more thing I forgot to mention of just D&D. I've now been running two games for a bit now. Ooh. I run the game for you guys, and then also for my sister and some of her friends. So... Their session was an interesting, like, they got, like, ambushed in a city and then just, like, murked these people that ambushed them. And they spent, like, 45 minutes trying to decide what to do with these bodies. And I was just, like, watching it happen when literally, like, they had been already, like, contracted by the guards to do what they were doing. And, like, they were attacked in the street. Like, they literally could have just been like, yeah, we were out doing our shit and got attacked. But I just watched them fucking sweat. It was so fun. And then I'm really excited for, like, our campaign because you guys are kind of coming to a confrontation with, like, the first kind of big bad of the campaign.
Yeah, so what happened while I was... A quick little run-through.
For the most part, you guys just continued exploring, like, that temple. And I don't want to dive into it too much because, like, this isn't a... I don't tell, like, the story every week, so people be like, what's going on in their D&D campaign? If you ever want to know, you know, I mean, you can hang out in TeamSpeak while we play. You can message us, like, if you're interested in that kind of stuff. But, yeah, you guys are, you know, a few sessions away probably from meeting up with the big bad. And I have some, like, fun ideas for how to make that fight special. So I'm excited.
Exciting.
Yeah. So nice. I guess with that, do we want to jump into some mail fight?
Yeah, we're going to jump into mail fight. We're going to do this a little differently than normal.
We also could do the Rising News because it's quick.
Sure, we could do the news then.
Actually, there's patch notes as well.
Oh, there patch. Are patch notes. There yeah. Are
ooh, notes. So while you have to run, we could just do patch and then do the show.
That's also not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go eat really quick.
Burp. Psych! We're doing the show in a regular way. We so Aiden, fucking trolled you.
Aiden's going to have to step away to eat dinner with his family for just a little bit. So we're going to talk about the patch. I apologize for the keyboard sounds. I got to log into League to pull up the patch notes. So this was patch 9.10, the aka the Yumi patch. She is released. I believe I saw a statistic where she has a 29% win rate currently.
Something like that. Yeah, it was
it
definitely
is very low.
It was sub 33, I know. It's yeah, people are just like, either ban Yumi or dodge if she gets picked on your team.
Yeah, I think people are kind of playing her like Janna used to be played. I've seen far more aggressive Jannas now, so I don't want to make that distinction or that claim. But Janna used to be like, you press shield, you stand behind your AD carry on cooldown, you just press shield. And it seems like that's kind of the case with Yumi players, is that they're just attaching to their AD carries and just like AFKing. Like, not doing anything.
That sounds perfect. I should do that. I should just, like, attach him to my AD carry and just, like, go get some water, get a snack. Just let him know, hey, Draven, be right back in, like, 30 seconds. Don't kill us.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where... I saw actually a good post on the subreddit where, hey, if you AFK attached, like, to your AD carry, they're going to draw more heat from, like, spells and auto attacks. So they're going to die more. So you're going to lose. So you can't just be attached all the time. You need to be off of the champion for a bit, you know, exert pressure and then jump out when they get aggressive. But I look forward to playing her. She seems like a really cool AD carry or AD support. I apologize. So Yumi.
Yeah. Next we've got Brand. E damage is increased late and the ratio is up. So it's that base damage and ratio are both up for Brand. Mm-hmm. So that's just a nice little extra bit of damage for him.
Yeah. Caitlyn, W headshot damage increased. Always a little, but only early. So her late game trap extra damage is the same, but early it is a little bit, it's quite a bit stronger.
That's 20 damage at first level, so that's real strong.
I mean, that's 50%, yeah.
That's 50%, or like that's like a pickaxe.
Yeah.
Or all two long swords. Anyway, Fiora. W now blocks Braum and Kennen stuns rather than preventing them from proccing. Oh, okay. I didn't even know that buff
existed. That's actually a huge buff to the Fiora-Kennen matchup.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Graves, Q damage increased late. I worry about buffing Graves because when he's meta, he is the meta.
Yep, and I was never a big Graves player once they changed him, so I don't want him to be real good because then I have to play him again.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a late game buff, which I think probably won't put him like crazy over the top. Because I think when he's real strong, it's because of his like early game dueling presence and the fact that he just scales so well. And I don't think, you know, 20 damage on the ult at max rank is going to do anything different. On the Q. Like,
yeah.
If he's big, he's big. And that, yeah.
Yeah.
Master Yi, some significant changes. Q cast time is removed. Adjusted target scanning on the Q. W cast time removed. E no longer grants attack damage while on cooldown, while not on cooldown, and R movement speed increased and adjusted. So they switched it from total move speed to bonus move speed on the ult, but also made it faster. E doesn't give you a passive buff anymore, it's only when active, so I think that was definitely needed. I don't know why that had a passive ability to begin with, I think that was dumb. But yeah, some changes to Yi. We'll see if this makes him real strong or if he's gonna still just kind of be a little pocket pick out there.
I think people are probably still playing him on hit at this point, but I think Warrior Crit is probably the way to go now. So it'll be interesting to see how people react to that. Riven, her Q cooldown now scales. So her Q is buffed and her E cooldown is increased by a tremendous amount. 4 seconds at all ranks. So I don't like that they're buffing her Q while also nerfing her E, but her E nerf is a nerf to the double casting she would get. Like, she could cast E while she casted any other ability, which led to a lot of animation canceling. So this probably nerfs her more than the 4 second shield increase would indicate. But it's still kind of strange that, you know, she's going to have a 6 second Q at max rank with 40% CDR.
Yeah, that's a little odd. We'll see. I think overall, like, she's definitely more mobile now.
Yeah, her damage output is increased for sure with between her Qs and her passives associated with the Qs. But that shield cooldown is actually pretty significant.
Yeah, for sure. Interested to see what, like, actual Riven players do with it, because that's definitely, like, a big deal. I don't play the character. Shaco, we're modernizing it. So you, where the clone goes and where you go, it looks like now you can actually choose that. Where your mouse is where you'll show up, and then opposite your cursor is where the clone goes. And that's 200 range away. Okay, so I think you can actually now intentionally and not just luck out, but like use this to go over small walls.
I believe so. I'm not sure if you needed the 250 to get over it, but I would imagine 200 is long enough.
I think at the very least you could use it to get over like the little ridge in Mid River, but I think probably if you
do it right. Or like Dragon Wall, something like
that. I think you can probably get over the back of Dragon Wall if you do it right.
Yeah. Nice. Soraka, Q movement speed is increased and it decays more slowly. So I've actually been seeing a little bit of Soraka mid, interestingly enough.
Yeah, me too. So. I think it's definitely got a strong lane. Tryndamere, E cooldown is decreased, AP ratio also decreased. So a flat second off the entirety on his E cooldown ratio is down by 0.2. So he's going to be more mobile with this, and hopefully we won't see AP Tryndamere's. I think you need to lower that E ratio more so that he just doesn't get an AP build, but hey.
Vayne, her R tumble cooldown reduction now scales up to 50%.
Okay, honestly, that's needed, I think.
So I think this changes, I don't think it changes enough. However, there is a Gintu's Rageblade change that certainly, like, if she were nerfed beyond this, it would be, she'd probably be not very pickable. So.
That being said, yeah, she was crazy strong. So I don't know what the Gintsu's nerf is, but I think, yeah, both her and Gintsu's need a nerf. Because she's way too strong right now.
They both got it.
There we go. Xinjiao, Q cooldown is decreased. It looks like just 2 seconds at the start, so it's early game, when it goes down to the same cooldown. So just a little bit of buff to his early power, you know, really giving him that early strength that he's kind of built for.
Yeah, Zyra, plants no longer take additional damage from basic attacks that do not trigger on hit effects. So, boys, this is the end of an era. Misfortune will no longer counter Zyra.
Rip.
Yeah. Fixing stuff like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Essence Reaver, attack damage is just up by 5, no change to cost, so just straight buff.
Yeah. Gintsu's phantom hit frequency is decreased. It procced every 2 auto attacks previously. Now it procs every 3. And the armor and magic penetration is increased and flattened to their maximum of 15% at all levels and ranks and stuff. So probably a buff to, well, certainly enough to nerf to everyone who buys Rageblade. However, the armor and magic pen are gonna keep it relevant, I imagine, to characters like Kai'Sa, Kale, Kog'Maw.
Yeah, so it's interesting because, yeah, I mean, you just get the penetration faster because it was 15 yeah. max. So you just get that penetration earlier, which, again, since a lot of people are getting Ginsu's as, like, a second item in the current state of things, like, getting your penetration that early is actually really nuts because, like, if they, like, even if they're already building their item to, you know, counteract it, you've just already kind of headed it off, like, right as they complete their one item, you already have your penetration. Yeah, that being said, the, you know, every, now, instead of every 2 stacks, every 3, I mean, that's a really significant change, I think. But I still think, yeah, this item will be fine on, you know, the Kai'Sas and Kog'Maws. I think it's not going to be, though, like, the every single AD carry is an on-hit carry meta now. I think we'll probably see some crit come back in strength with this nerf, and hopefully so, because it was too strong.
Absolutely. What if they changed the penetration to a flat amount? It makes it a better early game item, a worse late game item.
I think that gives you the chance, though, of, like, if it's that strong early game, you might run into problems with, like, these hyper carries running away with early game because they have that efficient path. Right? And then, like, it doesn't matter how, you know, that it's only 15 flat pen, let's say, if the Kog'Maw's got 4 items.
That's true, yeah. I guess my thought process was a lot of the hits, like, the on-hit effects that, like, you want with Rageblade are already max health tied. Like, Kog'Maw's W, Kai'Sa passive. So it'd be a way to, like, nerf that as well, but also buff it early.
Yeah. I think the other...
it's probably bad. Like,
I don't know. Yeah, it's tough, I think, to balance the item. And, like, the only other thing is I can maybe think of, like, ways to make it, like, a later game item would be, like, maybe it like, starts at, like, every 4 attacks you get a double, and then, like, after you've had the item for, like, 5 minutes, it's every 3 or something, and it goes down to, like, 2. But even then, I don't think that would probably be a good fix at all. I'm just, like, trying to think of other ways to do it other than this. I would love to see the data on this, like, next patch to see.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm excited to see how this changes things. Anyway, moving on, Hunter's Talisman. Champion's pets now also apply the burn from Talisman. So, I mean, I think that really is only going to affect, like, Elise.
Yes, that's a big buff.
But big buff to Elise. Now her spiderlings will be applying the burn from Hunter's Talisman.
This next one is a big Elise buff, too. The combined and total cost of the Runic Echoes jungle item is decreased.
Okay, yeah.
And so, she was already kind of pickable.
Yeah, and so that's just 125 gold off that. That's significant for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll see some return of Nidalee as well with that.
Ooh.
Conqueror, true damage and healing are both decreased. We hear you. It's too strong, so we're nerfing it.
Probably not a big enough nerf, but...
Yeah, but something. I mean, it's 2% from, you know, down to 8 from 10. So it's a significant change. I think this is, you know, a good direction. It's just, hey, we'll look at the data. If we need to bring it down to 6 or 7 or 5, you know, we can do that next patch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Area imbalance changes. You can read about all of these in the patch notes. We're not really going to run through them.
This podcast was built on Aram. What are you talking about?
This is even our though bread it's and probably like it's what I play the most, but bug fixes. Hopefully, my dryer noise didn't come through. bug fixes, and then we have the battle. oh no, I can only think of the way Kennedy says it. Academia,
Academia, yikes,
Academia,
yikes.
skins are out along with the Chrome is associated. So yeah, that's patch 9.10. Let's talk about the next thing. I guess speedrun update. Nothing happened.
Yeah, fucking submit your speedruns to the thing, and I'll give you stupid money.
Well, you cucks. Like, literally, one person does it, they get $10 RP, yeah. Right?
Yep.
So, ooh.
If you want more information about that, listen to last week's episode because I'm not re-explaining it.
Colton, you're not allowed to, but.
Yeah, I was going to say.
If you beat my time, Colton, I would give you $10.
Okay. Yeah, when I wasn't listening to last week's show, I was like, that sounds really interesting. I didn't actually hear it, but I could feel it like tingling in the back of my brain.
We already talked about Yumi. Let's talk about how they're handling this next update for 2020 and why we should vote for the specific character that we all want to vote for. So everyone's being able to given the option to vote for it expires tonight. Vote for the next champion update in 2020. They provided 5 options for both, I believe, gameplay and visuals. For Mundo, Fiddlesticks, Nocturne, Shyvana, and Volibear. I think we should make a case for each of them.
And I think we all have different opinions anyways.
Well, yeah, so.
To cover at least 3 of them. Nick, why is the character that you want to be reworked, why does it need to be reworked?
Hey, I want my character to be Shyvana. She's only playable right now because she's a cheesy AP ratio on her E. And that's literally the only, like, good ability she has. If you go, like, any other build, you're probably going to lose the game. Like, you're trolling. I think every one of these other characters, while not in the best spot, are certainly, like, playable in their intended, like, purpose. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Colton, go.
Okay, so this is hard for me because there's the one I would like to see reworked so I could play them, and there's the one that needs to be reworked because they're actually the worst. But I'm going to go with the one that I'd like to see reworked because I'd like to be able to play Fiddlesticks, and I don't want him to be a support who's just good because he presses Q. So we had talked more in depth many shows ago about some potential changes to, how can we make fiddles not ass? And I think that, you know, having maybe his ultimate be a vision reduction, like if you're inside the crow storm, you can't see out. If you're outside, you can't see in. Or if as they try and leave, it's going to like give them a like half second or 1 second fear that first time. Like, I think there's a lot that you could do. I think that honestly, his Q and his E are both pretty awful for the game. I get his W because it's what makes him like okay at jungling. So I think that's probably like W and the altar, maybe the things you keep and everything else you can scrap and rework.
Okay,
cool.
Aiden?
So Colton, I'm assuming the one that you thought was needed to be reworked was Volibear, right?
Yeah.
So mine's actually Nocturne. I think he's actually the one of the two lowest that like needs it in the fact that I think he's a viable character. His kit kind of works along with Mundo, which I don't think any of us think Mundo really, really needs it. He's just more boring, I guess. Like, he's kind of like a Pantheon, right? Where, like, he's just a boring character. Not that he, like, really needs a rework. I think Nocturne's kind of in that pool, but I think Nocturne has the most potential for, like, a cool rework out of all the characters. That's why I think it should be Nocturne. Like, imagine,
could
like...
be a, super cool, yeah.
Yeah, like, a new, like, a 2020 version of his ultimate, right? Like, just the terror. I feel like Nocturne could have, like, the highest potential for a rework. That's why, like, I voted for Nocturne.
That's true. I think he's... I personally think he's the least, like, the champion who needs it the least. I think he gets picked, like, competitively enough that he's, like, viable. But I do agree that he has the highest potential to be, like, the fucking coolest.
Mm-hmm. He should be way cooler than he currently is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Mundo. What's our argument for Mundo? I don't think Mundo really needs it, personally. Unless, unless you can stick a cleaver in someone and slam them.
I think there's a lot of things you could do for Mundo that would make him feel better, but like he's fine in his current role as just like he's a real big tank with a ton of regen. You can't really CC him because he's got a ton of tenacity. Like, he's okay in lane. Like, he's got a lot going for him in just his raw stats. I think it's just reflected also in like pretty boring gameplay, and that's why he needs it. And I think you could do some fun things with him, but again, like, end of the line, he's still going to be a big beefy tank, and most people don't get excited to play big beefy tanks as much as they'd be like, ooh, new Nocturne ult is nutty. I would love to hear, Aiden, some, do you have any ideas for how to make that super cool 2020 Nocturne ult?
I really don't. I just feel like thematically, it's just like, oh, it went dark, he's probably going to kill someone, and that's like kind of what you want, right? You want it to be like, holy shit, someone on my team's gonna die because I can't see anything. But like, it doesn't really accomplish that whole thing right now. And there's also gimmicks with this current alt where it's like, hey, you can ping and people can still see your pings and stuff like that. And I feel like that makes it way less cool.
All right, question. What if they go all in on the like Freddy Krueger-esque nature of Nocturne, right? His E is no longer
Did you say fear. Freddy Krueger?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I watched the Nightmare on Elf Street porn
Freddy,
parody.
Freddy Krueger Night. Jesus Christ.
So, what if... Okay, his E, no longer a fear. It's a drowsy into a sleep. His ulti is kind of the same, but instead of, like, dashing, he does a... he does, like, a Rek'Sai-esque, like, teleport behind you thing. And he does more damage to champions that are like drowsy slash sleeping.
Maybe,
know.
Yeah,
I think that'd be pretty sweet.
Either way, like I feel like visually, no matter what they could come up with visually, would look better than what he currently looks like. Just because he was made in 2012.
Yeah, I honestly think the ulti is the only thing that's going to stay on him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe his Q, but that's it.
I think the idea of like the Q trail might stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that the trail, and I think the ultimate, I think the general concept of, like, lights go out, he's coming for you, will keep. But I would really hope they change it from just a point and click does damage. Because that's really boring.
Did we ever get to the bottom of, in competitive play, are they allowed to look at your teammates' screens and Nocturne ults?
I don't see why you wouldn't be able to.
That's a weird thing, though, right?
It is, yeah. I mean, you're in comms. So I imagine you're literally just screaming where the Nocturne is.
Yeah, still.
Separate booth for every player. Comms cut out. Pings go away when Nocturne ult goes.
That'd be pretty
That'd
cool.
Be wild.
Like, Nocturne presses R and just, like, little barriers pop up between their computers.
Their monitor shuts off for 2 seconds.
What's, like, the technology that is becoming more prevalent where, like, kind of you can recreate, like, anyone? It's, like, face and voice. What's that technology called? You know what I mean?
Deep fakes. Yeah.
What if it recorded your teammates' voice lines over the comms from the entire game, and then like when Nocturne ult, it just starts playing like new generated voices.
That
like,
would be fucking
oh, he's not
wild. That would be wild.
So that's
everything's just fine in the bot lane.
That's for the 2050 rework.
You know,
that's for League of Legends too.
JoJo did that.
Mm-hmm.
That is... Oh, that's such a fucking cool idea. Damn. Hell yeah.
Cool.
Do you have any arguments for Volibear?
He just needs it. He's boring as fuck. He's bad, yeah. Bad.
I think the only thing that stays is the bite.
Uh-huh.
That's it. Everything else can just go. Cool.
Yeah, I think everything else can go. I think you could definitely like move some things, right? Like you could keep the idea of like a lot of regen and like combat or like lightning claws could be a thing, but I think that there's a lot of tinkering that would need to be done to keep anything else.
I don't think they want him to be good though until they rework him. Like there's no reason why they couldn't just remove the cast time from his ultimate right now. Like he's such a bad character that wouldn't make him OP. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think so either. I think, like, the biggest issue with Volibear is that you pick, like, I don't know, a character with a single slow, and Volibear is just useless for the entire game. Like, how do you play Volibear into Lulu ever? That seems like a nightmare to me.
You ban Lulu.
Okay, then they pick Janna.
Yeah, you got 5 bans, dude.
Yeah, okay, good thing in League there are only 5 champions with slows. yeah.
There are only 5 characters with CC in the entire game. And then there's not a single one character that has 5 CCs in their own kit. Wait.
I don't think there is a character with 5 CCs.
No.
Only but... 4, right?
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, that's it for the news. For the champion spotlight, we're going to talk about Yumi next week after we have some time to mess around with her. Because I have not played League since she's been out. I think Aiden's played one game against her.
Yes, sir. She's really bad. So. She's not a good character.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week. So we're going to jump into the roundtable question. We got a lot of good answers.
So this week's roundtable
we'll read now.
Shut up. So last week's roundtable question was, what would you like Riot to include in their Dota style battle pass? So like most of our Facebook comments were asking what a Dota battle pass is. So there's that.
Hey,
but anyways,
it's like this year event. It's like the second biggest event of the year for Dota
Nick, we
players.
Explained it for like 30 minutes last week.
Yeah, yeah, but what if
what
they
I'm saying
didn't
is,
listen last time?
But they're listening this time?
Yeah. What if they started on episode 378 of a League podcast?
They wouldn't know because you don't put episode numbers in our title.
Oh, shit.
So from Facebook, Bodhi said, no, every game to follow the Battle Pass trend, Paladins, PUBG, etc. is dying out slowly. Battle Passes make good content less achievable to people with less money. I think there's some merit to that. And I think a lot of companies just do it because it's like a really easy way to make like money. Mm-hmm. Dustin said, once a day, one game skin trial for any champion that you or any skin you don't own. Ooh. Can reuse for the same skin or can't reuse for the same skin twice. I would love if they just did skin trials. Cool. Like that, I feel like that would help their sales so much if you could just try out a skin and be like, oh, that's sick.
Hell yeah. I'd be even fine with just like you can't even use the same champion twice.
Yeah. Ben said equal rights for their employees.
Okay.
Nice.
That's for our discard though. Butt Stuff said, not a reward, but the Dota style battle pass has champion challenges. So things like pull enemies so many units as Swain or knock enemies up a total of 30 seconds on Ornn. Ideally, every champion would have a few of them and you can see them champions. Like, I would love that. That'd be a lot of fun.
So cool.
You definitely need to have one for every character, though, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because that'd be the shitty part, is if it's like, oh, well, now I have to play one character.
Yeah, Tom Kent, you have to digest 5 different species, 5 different like people from different like
types
regions.
Of units.
Like, no. Ooh. Regions, like a Demacian character, like a Yordle. Yeah.
someone pick a Shireman character. I need to eat you.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically, Cancer said, build a battle pass for each champion. Make one skin the battle pass skin. Rewards being a summoner icon. The skin, example, Shockblade Zed. And then you can go higher. You unlock the chromas. It could be a tie-in with champion levels as well. It would require a chroma skin for each champion. But I think they're headed in that way anyways. Seems like they all have quite a few good elements for a battle pass now. Just tie them in all together. Yeah, that'd be cool if there was like character specific ones. And last but not least, Nate said, I think I would like for League to include some in-depth customization tools depending on one style of gameplay. You could somehow find a way to gauge and zone people's styles of play through AI. You could give rewards in conjunction. Rather than giving you a random skin charge that we already have unlocked, the AI would look at your most recently played characters, the most played role of that champion, for example, for applicable versatile champs, what kind of builds you run, what skins you don't own. They would have more opportunities for appropriate marketing. Then again, I don't think you should have to buy this as a pass. It should really already be marketing tools they utilize. The pass would be getting set items as a reward for your playing games, completing missions, ranking up through promos. Yeah, it's kind of like what they try to do with their your shops, but I don't think their your shops are very well done, honestly.
I think that they need to just go out and be like, yes, we're giving you sales on characters that you play a lot of, because like that's what it obviously is, but I don't think that's like their clear intent behind it. It's just like, here's some skins. So just be like, yes, this is for the characters you play the most, like there you go, this is available. And I think that if anything, just like have those My Shop events more frequently, or you know, have them as part of like events pass, right? When I buy the MSI pass, I get an MSI Your Shop. Maybe it's only like four characters instead of six, but I think it'd be a good way to incorporate it. I think if they always had it for shards, though, that'd be problematic, because then they wouldn't sell skins as much, right? If the game sees that I'm playing, you know, 50 games of Orianna, it's like, here's an Orianna skin shard. I'm just like, cool, I'm never going to have to purchase skins for characters I play, because all I have to do is play them. That's my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So this week's roundtable question is, if you could replace one ability from your main champion with one from another champion, what would you replace and why?
All right, I'm going to say I would replace Swain's W with Mordekaiser's W.
Why?
I think Mordekaiser's W is actually kind of busted.
No, it's insane.
And I think that'd be just like really fun on that character.
Yeah.
Like a swarm of crows come out, deal some damage, and then, deal damage, fly towards the target.
All the cool things.
Yeah.
Cool. You got one, Colton, or want me to go with mine right now?
You go ahead with yours, because I don't even know who I consider my main champion. I guess I'll just pick Zillion. I don't fucking know.
I went with Blitzcrank. So I would like to replace his Speedy W, and I want to replace it with Alistar's headbutt, but like it's like a melee ranged headbutt. So like you could pull people in, then you can punch people away really far.
Ooh, like, you could pull them in, knock them up, and then knock them backwards.
Mm-hmm. You just punch them, and they go like flying. That'd be fun.
Zillion's like not a great option because like you can't really choose the W, and then if you get rid of the bomb, what's the point of the character?
I mean, you could replace the bomb with something else that you could double cast, right?
I guess that's true. I don't know what I'd want to double cast though. I think I'll pick a different character. I guess I've been playing a lot of Hecarim recently. I've been playing a lot of Pyke. I think if they changed Pyke E into maybe not like a dash CC, but just like a straight up CC, that could be interesting. But this is a weird question for me. I'm trying to think of like a good answer, but I'm just completely blanking.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
Sorry.
Well, sorry. Maybe our listeners can tell you.
Our Facebook page at LeagueCast, or by sending us an email, mail at leaguecastpodcast.com, or by coming into our Discord server and posting on our roundtable section.
Hell yeah. You can tell us about Klepto Misfortune.
Ooh, I will. So this is actually like a cheese pick that's like gotten some play in like Masters and like Challenger. Because like it's the current options on Misfortune is like, The bad option is you can try and go, like, pure lethality and, like, Dark Harvest and just get the massive Qs, but that's not what people are doing. For the most part, it's, right now at least, press the attack Misfortune when you get, like, a Blade of the Rune King and then kind of go, like, a lethality-ish build. And that's just, with press the attack, you can kind of match other AD carries just, like, auto for auto, where you normally wouldn't be able to in Misfortune, because she doesn't normally build the same, like, attack speed crit kind of build. That being said, she's already a real strong bully in the early game. So you don't lose a lot by taking Klepto. And if you double Q on champions, those will both proc Klepto, so you'll get a double proc. And it's real easy also to just run up with your W, because you're going to get bonus attack speed and movement speed when you hit the W, to just walk up and get like one or two Klepto procs as well. You can get your biscuits and your free boots, still go, you know, down your yellow tree second. So I think it's definitely got some potential, and you just kind of get to your quick items that are already pretty inexpensive when you're running that lethality build. You're going to get them even faster and become that team fighting monster even sooner. And, you know, you're not always auto attacking a ton anyway to begin with in some team fights. So that press the attack doesn't always benefit you that much. So that's Klepto Misfortune.
Nice. So let's talk about MSI now that group stages are over. We are going to spoil it, so go ahead and...
So you got 3 more seconds to...
Yeah, skip ahead.
Skip ahead.
Okay. So standings. Let me pull it up real quick. IG, they dropped one game, my dude.
That's SKT, scary. Yeah.
Only to SKT. Yep. 9-1 in the groups. Looked pretty dominant in all, but like, obviously they're lost. And then I think one other game it was close, but then that was pretty much
the
it.
The Fong Vu, the game against Mr. Buffalo was like really.
Yeah, Mr. Buffalo. Yeah. Hey, Mr. Buffalo got your two wins.
I know. That's exciting. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so the standings pretty much tell the story. It's really top half and the bottom four teams are kind of like just there.
Mm-hmm.
SKT finished second, 7-3. Looked really strong. Struggled again in some of their games, but recently, you know, in their most recent games, in typical SKT fashion, looked pretty good. And going into best of fives, pretty scary to draw them. G2 5-5, finished third place. Looked really good in their wins, and I think really bad in their losses.
It was either claps or craps, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, he's actually such a sink or swim mid, though. Like, it's wild.
Yeah, he's 10-0 or 0-10, like, every single game.
It's not like he chokes against good mids, either. Like, there's times where, like, he, like, does really well against Faker mm-hmm. or, like, Rookie or whatever. And then he'll lose to, like, Mr. Buffalo's mid.
Yeah. Yeah, G2, SKT are going to be playing in the knockouts. But hey, Team Liquid bringing up fourth place. Team Liquid in fourth place, more iconic duo. Looked kind of like mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the teams they were supposed to beat. They lost the teams that they were supposed to lose to.
Yeah, whereas like, yeah, Team Liquid is actually like exactly what you expected, right? They went 1-1 mm-hmm. with G2, who's probably their closest equal, right? And yeah. then beat the teams below them and then lost to the obviously SKT Invictus. And then G2 is like a weird one where they went 0-2 against Fongvu, but 2-0 SKT.
Yeah.
So if we want to go into like the knockout stages, which happen on Friday morning.
Hell yeah.
So for the Friday morning game is Team Liquid Invictus, right? I believe.
Yes. Well, let me check. I'm pulling up the schedule. Yep.
While you Saturday. Look at that, I just so like Invictus was pretty dominant throughout the whole thing, and one thing I heard like just as the commentators were talking that I thought was absolutely hilarious. I didn't know that this happened, but apparently in a regular season game, Invictus played their like owner in one of their games, as
that's
like,
huh?
They subbed in their owner because they were just like, yeah, we're gonna smash anyway, and they won the game.
That was like from before. That was like before Worlds, though. Because they always had the meme and they won the game. Yeah. So, like, they're like, it was always the joke that, like, they haven't even brought out their, like, 100% win rate AD carry.
That's so funny, though. That, like, and you could tell, though, that some of those games, they were just like, oh, yeah, we're just going to fuck around with you guys. Like, we're literally toying with, like, some of these teams.
Mm hmm.
3-0, right?
3-0 for Invictus.
It's not going to be close.
Yeah.
I could see a 3-1, but there's no world in which Team Liquid wins, right? Like 0% chance?
Yeah, but if we say 0%, then...
I mean, that's fine. If we get it wrong, then our fucking team wins.
That's true. Invictus just looks so good. Every single aspect of their team looks like they're the best at the tournament. Mm-hmm. Fucking Jackie Love looks crazy.
Like, where does Team Liquid outshine Invictus in this matchup? Not top lane, not jungle, not mid.
I actually think the Shy has been having a pretty, like, pretty average MSI. Like, yeah. He's had some games that he's popped off on. He's had some pretty bad games as well. I mean, I haven't watched many Team Liquid games, so I maybe... Impact wins lane like once or twice if he gets a good matchup.
Impact's been playing like the best on Team Liquid, by the way, out mm-hmm. of all of them.
So I think like there's a chance that maybe they can win a game through top lane play if Impact picks like Vlad or something.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah, either that or like if Invictus like messes around for a game, like they could absolutely drop a game there if they're goofing around.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Team Liquid has a chance to win, of course, JJ gets to play Tahm Kench. I think that's the only must ban against Team Liquid.
It's like, Colton, your scenario is kind of like, what was it, TSM and Samsung Blue at Worlds? where people always hold that as like TSM, hey, won a game against Samsung Blue, who is the most dominant team ever. They fucking memed on them that game. Like, I'm pretty sure they memed on them, right? Like, they picked like dumb shit. So yeah, I could see that happening, but we'll see.
Yes.
SKT G2.
This is definitely the closer series. I think it's going to be 3-1 SKT, however.
Yeah, like, despite G2 currently being 2-0 on SKT in best of ones, I don't think they're going to beat them in a series. I feel like SKT is going to 3-1 them.
I think it's going to 3-2. I mean, I feel like SKT pretty much never loses best of fives, but I think G2 is strong enough right now, and the fact that they 2-0'd them in groups has me thinking they'll probably be able to pick up two matches, but I think it's 3-2 SKT.
I do think they picked pretty, unconventional champions and team comps against SKT in both of their best of ones, which is why I have a little bit more faith. Like, I think G2 will take one game with something like that, and then SKT will adapt and not drop another game.
Also, why do they put fucking Teddy on Sona and then Misfortune? What was the other AD carry that he put him on? Like, they put him on like a bunch of just not AD carries. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Who was the other one? Yeah.
It was silly.
Yeah. And then I guess we'll talk about the final matchup once it happens.
I mean, but it's going to happen on the Sunday, so.
It's going to happen on Sunday.
It's going to be Invictus SKT, so.
I think so, too.
And I think it's going to be a really good final.
I think it's going, it's 3-2 either way, but I think Invictus is going
to
win.
Are we allowed to watch that? Or is that like BM because we're at someone else's house after a party?
I mean, it's 3 a.m.
Is it
3 a.m. there?
Fuck. That's...
I mean, we could probably watch it during the...
We'll just have, like, a cuddle couch and put it on our phones.
I was like, oh, it's going to happen at 6. That's not bad.
No.
No? Fuck.
No, it's happening...
We can absolutely watch it.
Yeah, we'll pull it up, like, sometime.
Yeah, cool.
So, yeah. And that takes us to the Malphite section that we're going to do at the start of the show. Get trolled, losers. We got three emails this week. First one is from Buttstuff, who had his roundtable answer read earlier. Hello again, Buttstuff. A friend of mine and I were talking about Dota and League. We were mostly interested in what would be cool to trade between the games, like a League champion in Dota. And the thing I want in League from Dota is Aghanim's Scepter. Aghanim's Scepter is an item, pretty shitty stats, but it upgrades your ultimate or like your core ability in some way. He says, I love the way it changes most heroes. While for most it changes their ults, some heroes like Gyrocopter, which is kind of like quirky, but in Dota, gets a weird upgrade where he gets a random like shooter attached to his plane. It's a sweet, if the sweet item in League, what would be some cool ideas? Maybe Karthus ult has its cooldown reset if it kills, or Udyr can have up two stances up at once. Thank you for reading, butt stuff. I really like that Udyr idea. I think it's pretty sick.
Yeah, I think the way you could do it is just like after you change stances, you keep the effects of the other one for like a second or something. Right, like you still have bear effects for like the first second or 2 seconds of Tiger.
Oh, I think you keep it until it runs just out. Like
have them up, both of them like entirely.
No. Like, so you go into, you'd have to lower the cooldown on like stances, I think. But let's say you go into bear stance. There's a timer, right, for when you get the speed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably like 2 seconds.
That okay, so you're saying timer, you get the bonus, duration. But not the on hit. Okay. Gotcha.
Yes. Yeah, you get the bonus. Yeah, I think that's the best way to do it. Wait, you already get the bonus. You get the on hit for the duration of the bonus.
Okay, okay.
Something
yeah,
like
I,
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if you could stack them all? So like Udyr's a character that like your first hit in a fight is a stun, an AoE, a fucking tiger proc,
and a fat
shield. Yeah.
It would be crazy. Bush Udyr.
All right, so imagine this. You're playing Victor, and you can upgrade each one of your abilities.
Whoa! What does your ultimate do?
It just goes a little faster.
It runs faster. It's Sonic's. Nice. That would be a really good, like, I think we should save that as a roundtable question. Maybe a Pogger one.
I think that's actually, that's a pretty good roundtable question, because there's a lot of, like, just minor tweaks you could make to certain abilities that could be real cool.
Hell yeah.
So thank you for that butt stuff. Always appreciate some good butt stuff. It's what we're known for here at LeagueCast. Hi, LeagueCast. As the title of this email suggests, my favorite section of the podcast is the roundtable, and I have a couple roundtable questions for you guys this week that you might want to use later. Who knows? Question the first. Riot has decided that all summoner spells, aside from Flash and TP, are kind of awful, so they've decided to rework all other spells in a way so broken that you don't want to take Flash all the time. What are the new spells, and what do they do?
That's a good one.
Yeah. Question two. Riot has decided that there are not enough status effects. Aiden, as you copy it, you're shifting the text beneath it, so it jumped from one page to the next. Riot has decided that there are not enough status effects, and before Worlds, they are dropping the kitchen sink on new status on a bunch of items and champions to hilarious effects. What are the new status effects, and what do they do? Example, status effect, midlife crisis. As soon as you back, if your champion is male, he will buy three of the most expensive items in the shop with the gold that you have available. This cannot be undone. If you want your gold back, you have to sell the item. If the champion is female, it will buy five pots and use them all automatically, because it's not, if it's not day drinking, if it's wine. Status effect, poopy pants. A side effect from fear, your champ emits a poison cloud that poisons your allies and makes it so no female champions want to get closer to your champ. Victor, thank you for that email. Oh my god. I want to come up with so many status effects.
Well, think about it, and we'll answer it in a future roundtable question.
What if you could just make someone, like, small?
That's like, the just... ultimate curse.
No, I'm the just, like, insult. Right, like, so there's Lulu, like, enlarges someone. What if you made them, like, small, so they're just, like, slowed, and, like, their range scales down proportionately, and, like, every, like, all of their abilities' range goes down by, like, 20%. And, like, their damage is down, like, 10% or something. And they're just, like, they're just little itty-bitty.
I just want, like, really basic ones. Like,
yeah,
my character has hot hands now.
What does that do?
It makes auto-attacks do one fire damage.
No, your teammates, like, don't want to be near someone who has hot hands. So, like, they are always repelled away from you.
What if you have cold hands?
That's, like, a different status effect.
Yeah, but what if you have, like,
oh, if you're
cold hands, one with hot hands?
They can neutralize each other. That's why the enemy team has to make sure they don't use cold hands and hot hands on two different characters.
What if there is a status effect, like, you cast, like, minion magnet, and then, like, they try to run through the lane, and they just get, like, body blocked by all the minions? Just pull them just closer. Like Legends. yes, that's...
What if a minion magnet, if you walk close, you instantly draw aggro?
I think that could be kind of funny, yeah. Okay, we'll stop, because I think that's a really... those are both real good questions for, like, a lot of fun discussions. So thank you again for the email, Victor. Quality questions.
Hey, last email's from Michael. He says, hey, guys, been listening to your podcast for about a year and has helped me to improve my... it helped me improve my overall game knowledge and climb from silver into low gold. Hell yeah, do you get that victorious skin? My next goal is to climb to plat. To do this, I've recently switched to jungle instead of maining support. This is because the support I often felt at the mercy of my teammates and my skill didn't matter. As a jungler, I picked up on a trend that occurs in a lot of my games. I often realize that I fall behind in XP compared to the enemy jungler, even if I focus on farming and invading the steel camps. I mostly play Vi, and this XP difference is super debilitating because Vi wants to reach that mid-game power spike as soon as possible. I've been able to overcome these difficulties and make myself useful by securing objectives for my team, but I fear that as I continue to climb, this won't be enough. Any advice on how to make sure I get enough XP while jungling would be greatly appreciated, as well as any recommendations for other jungle champions to try out. In response to last week's roundtable, speaking as someone who has played the game since 2012, I would easily drop $10 or even $20 every 10 months for a battle pass while still spending $10 to $20 every 4 to 6 months on skins and other content within the game. I know many of the friends I play with would do the same. I think that one thing that should be included is a series of difficult to reach prizes, like if you complete an absurd amount of missions or something that most players wouldn't be able to do. An example of this would be a free skin choice between 3 to 5 high value skins, kind of like a My Shop panel, except you get to pick a free one. Also, physical stuff like posters. Give me that Warring Kingdoms or Project Vi poster. Anyways, thanks for pumping out quality podcast content and keep up the great work, Michael. Honestly, why are there no posters? We said this like 3 weeks ago. Why are there no posters? What the fuck? Okay.
Give me the posters.
So, I mean, honestly, you should take a little bit of XP from your lanes. Every time you walk into a lane, just like last hit 3 minions or the whole wave and then go.
That's toxic.
I don't think it's toxic. You're distributing more XP per team.
Just know when you should like push waves when you gank. That's like the main thing.
Yeah. So I'll go over a couple things just kind of to think about as a jungler. And I know, Nick, you want to talk first because he's trying to get into plat and that's your domain. But as the... Thank you. As
sick
the,
win rate, though, bud.
Ooh, sick rank, bud.
I have a negative win rate, too. Or am I the only one with a negative win rate? Cold,
you might be the only one.
Nick, I think you might have a higher win rate right now than a lot of people in Challenger. Do you want to go tell them you're a better player?
I will. Bring me a Challenger player.
Win rate means nothing.
Wait, you and Colton are both positive 4 games.
Yeah, but what's my ratio?
I'm negative 4 games.
Wait, I'm positive games? That
yeah, you're positive 4 games.
Oh my god. Anyway, so wild. Some things to think about when jungling in your XP. So, when you're going for objectives, right, if you're... And I think Vi, particularly, she's a pretty good character that you can, like, solo dragon with. If you're soloing dragon, the enemy jungler in that time is going to take 2 to 3 camps. Right, so you're going to lose out on EXP because you're getting that objective. If you're pulling off a gank, the enemy jungler is either, one, going to, like, counter gank or gank a different lane. If they don't, they're going to get, again, 1 to 2 camps. If it's, you know, like, a long kind of, I'm going to wait in this bush for a bit, maybe they hit up to, like, 2-3. Typically, though, if you just kind of run into a lane, wait for the right position, go in there, they're maybe going to get 1 camp. So kind of all of those things will slowly add up. And if when you're doing these objectives or these ganks, you know, if they're not successful, or even if, you know, maybe you do get a successful gank top and then you don't shove the wave with your laner, right, that's where you're going to start falling behind in a little bit of EXP. Another thing to kind of always think about is the early clearing to get your reset camps. Right, because that second round of camps is worth a lot of XP, particularly getting like an early clear on your Krugs. Right, that second Krugs camp is going to give you a ton of XP. Even the first one gives you a lot. So I've seen a lot of junglers skip Krugs because it takes so long. And that could be maybe another source. I'd have to see what you're doing. But if you're not ever clearing Krugs, that's a big area where you can boost how much XP you get. Other than that, yeah, it's really hard to say. But in general, it's just, you know, if you're losing an XP, it's because, you know, as dumb as it sounds, right, it's because they're getting XP faster than you. So they're doing something that you're not, and you need to be aware of that, of what is my time gaining me right now? You know, am I getting a dragon? Then I'm going to be losing out on XP and gold. Am I farming camps? Then I'm going to be dropping lane pressure. And balancing that, you know, lane pressure versus camp clearing versus objective play versus vision play, right? That's kind of the weird, wonky job of a jungler, is trying to find that perfect mixture to be able to kind of get around your opponent. So it's definitely difficult. Hopefully some of that helped. And I'll leave it over to Aiden and Nick, since I've been talking for like 2 minutes.
Well, I think you've covered a lot of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of it. I guess the only thing is, what other champions would we recommend that he try out?
If plays the best character in the game, Sej.
True. Sej 20, real good.
Sedge, real good. Hecarim, also real good right now. I think that, again, Vi in particular, she's got a strong clear, but not particularly fast. So maybe try, you know, a character with a little bit better, you know, clear for a little bit and see if you're still falling behind in the XP, or if it's maybe just because you're focusing on, like, the ganking and dueling power of Vi. And again, maybe you're skipping over some of those, you know, Raptor camps or some of those Krugs because you're busy doing those other things.
Hell yeah. Anything else? Any other suggestions?
I think that covers it, honestly.
Take EXP Quince.
Thanks, Michael. And that'll take us to the end of the show. Thank you guys for listening. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at LeagueCast and at LeagueCastFrost. Our Facebook is LeagueCast. Come talk to us on TeamSpeak, ts.leaguecastpodcast.com, or on Discord. You can get our Discord server information by sending us an email to mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. We'll answer all of your other email there as well. Twitch.tv/BlueBasket and /KingLardot are where we stream. And finally, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeagueCast. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
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 Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with Audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.